16, I've been considering some questions Jesus asked others about himself, and I looked at three of them together. I found a fourth one, and this month, God willing, I will take up one of these questions each Lord's Day. And so today, it's the question that Jesus asked about himself, one that we are very familiar with in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. And now, John chapter 1. Verse 23. Make that chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he, our Savior, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed on his name, beholding his signs which he did. But Jesus did not trust himself unto them, for that he knew all men, and because he needed not that anyone should bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. And chapter 8, verse 12. Again therefore Jesus spake unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "You bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said unto them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from, and I know where I am going. But you know not where I came from, or where I am going." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that in the brief passages that we have read, we understand that never man spake like this man. Our Father, he speaks of things with which we are unfamiliar, and yet to him they are perfectly familiar. We are thankful for the mystery about your Son, the Lord Jesus. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And yet, our Father, we are thankful that this one who came from heaven came to reveal himself unto men and to reveal you, our Father, unto men. And it is our desire that we may know who he is. We are thankful, our Father, for the few years that he dwelt on earth. We are thankful that we know that today he is in heaven, and we look forward to his coming again. But in that time, during his absence, our God, we would have ourselves to know what he would have us to know. And so from the scriptures we have read and the others that shall come to mind, we pray, our God, that we shall learn about your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the blessings of this past week, and we look to thee in faith for the coming week, and we look to thee especially for today. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus was always asking questions about different things. And this month, I want us to consider the questions he asked about himself. At times, he asked questions about others. At times, he asked questions about things. But in these portions that I want us to consider, he asked questions, but they were questions about himself that he asked others. Now listen to Matthew 16 and understand how he asks others a question about himself. He said unto his disciples, "Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He is asking others a question about himself. He says, "Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the other questions, I will tell you what they are these. He also said unto a blind man who wanted his eyes opened, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And the blind man answered, and the Lord Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And he answered that. And a fourth one I discovered, because there are four Lord's days this month, and it was this. The Savior said, "What think ye of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" And so there are questions in abundance that he asked others about himself. Now, the first thing that we must understand is that Jesus, unlike ourselves, knows perfectly the answer to the question, "Who am I?" That's why I read to you in John chapter 8. The Lord Jesus spoke about himself. He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And immediately, this truth was contested. "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." And then he makes a remarkable statement that not one of us can make. He said, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, because I know where I came from, and I know where I am going." Tell me, how do you know where you came from? You don't. Someone had to tell you. You don't know who your father and mother were. Someone had to tell you. And tell me, when you die, where are you going? You don't know. Someone has to tell you. But the Lord Jesus said, "I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going." Different from any other man. And for that reason, the Lord Jesus can bear witness of himself. Now, he knows who he is. He knows where his eternal home was. And he knows when he leaves this world where he's going. But he has come to earth that all men might learn who he is, and because of that, go to the same place that he went when he left this world. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is why I know where I am going. The Lord Jesus told me. He made a promise to me, one who has trusted him as Savior, where I am going when I leave this world. And, alas, the Lord Jesus told his listeners where they came from. He said, "You are of the earth, earthy, and all of us are that way. And even though we trust Christ as Savior, we still had our origin in the earth, and we are of the earth." It says, "And God formed man of the dust of the earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And therefore, man's origin is the dust of the earth. And there was a time when he did not exist. And there was a time when he came into being. And there was a time when he's going to die and his body is going to return to dust from whence it was taken, unless our Lord comes. And so, we know none of these things except by being told by others. We have learned this. We have learned that this world in which we find ourselves is one in which men die. And as for our knowledge and understanding of the longevity of men, they live 70, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. And I've read that some, and there is just a few, some live over 100. But 115, 117 years, and then on record, that's when the oldest ones die. And so you may live to be over 100 years, but you're going to die unless Jesus comes. So our Savior tells us where he came from, and he tells us where he's going, and he tells us where we came from and where we are going. The sad thing is this. He does not tell us that we are all going to the same place when we leave this world. The Lord Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come." And so he tells us some, when they die, are going to go where he went. And some, when they die, because they are unbelievers, cannot come where he went. "Where I go, you cannot come." And they were perplexed. They said, "How is it that we cannot go where he is going? Will he kill himself? What is this he's talking about? Where I go, you cannot come." And so there was mystery about the Lord Jesus. And yet, he wants that mystery to be dispelled as much as men's mind can dispel that mystery. And he wants them to know this. He wants them to know who he is. Listen to this portion in John chapter 20. It says, "Many other miracles truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." It says that you may know that Jesus is the Christ. He wants you to know who he is. He knows who he is, and he wants men to know who he is. And to a degree, we can learn who he is. But in another sense, we can never know who he is. This is what he said concerning himself and the Father. He said, "No man knoweth the Son save the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever he will reveal him." How remarkable. He says that no man knows the Son except the Father. And that must mean in its fullness, because I am able to say this: I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. And it says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou didst send. And so, to a degree, I know who Jesus is, and I know the Father to a degree. I know more in the coming day, but being finite, I shall never understand him fully. But I must understand who he is, and I must understand what he did to save sinners from their sins. And if I do not know this, then where he goes, I cannot come. I will die in my sins. But if I do know him, my sins will be taken away. And where he has gone, he has promised me that I shall go. And he personally will come again and receive me to himself. So, the question today that he asked his disciples is, not first, but afterward, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He first wants us to think on the question about what the world considers Jesus to be. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, well, we have heard some calling you John the Baptist, some Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah, or some say you are one of the other prophets risen from the dead. Now think, if I asked you, what do you think of me? And you compared me to these great men of old, I would not want you to inquire any further, because I might be downgraded, because who is equal to Elijah, that great prophet? Jeremiah, John the Baptist. There is no one superior to John the Baptist. But the Lord Jesus said, that is not enough. I want to know whom you say that I am. And thank God, they are able to give him an answer that makes him far superior to any of these great heroes that we've read about in the Old Testament and John the Baptist in the New Testament. Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter, answering for the rest, gave this reply: you are the Christ, that is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus is pleased with that answer, and he does not ask him any more questions as to who he is, because if, with your finite mind, you know the human origin of Jesus and the divine relationship of Jesus, then that's all that you need to know. God had promised in the Old Testament that there would be a Messiah, and the Messiah, the Christ, is the Anointed One. Prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament were anointed. This designated them as particular individuals. And the Messiah is the Christ, the Anointed One. And so when it says you are the Christ or you are the Messiah, it means that you are the one designated by God from heaven to be who you are. The difference between Christ and man is this. When David was to be king, Samuel came and anointed him, and therefore he was the Anointed One. He was the Anointed King. But when Jesus came, there was no one on earth who anointed him, but God the Father from heaven anointed him. This is what he said, quoting from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So men had other men to anoint them, and that was a picture of their designation as chosen by God for a certain duty to be fulfilled on earth. But no one ever came and anointed the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. This was the Father himself, and the anointing was the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, when Peter said, you are the Christ, that is, the anointed one, then he is the one that God had promised of the seed of David that would come into the world and fulfill all his promises made to the nation of Israel, and in addition to that, his promises made to the Gentiles. He says, that is who you are. You are the Messiah. But suppose the only thing we know is that Jesus is a man among men, born to be King of the Jews, and that is all. That he had a beginning, that he is going to have an end. How limited would our comprehension of Jesus be? But Peter does not stop there. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He tells of Jesus' relationship to men, and he tells of his relationship to his Father. And therefore, if you know who Jesus is as to men and as to God, then Christ will speak concerning you. Blessed art thou among men. Why? For this reason. No one can know these two things about the Lord Jesus unless it is a revelation from the Father. Think of that. Do you mean that I, of my own powers, am not able to examine Jesus and understand who he is? Why, of course not. This is what John the Baptist said. He said, there stands one in your midst whom you know not. And so the Lord Jesus was born of man, lived among men, worked as a man, and nobody knew who he was. And John the Baptist said, I did not know who he was, but God told me that upon whomsoever you shall see the Spirit descending and abiding, this is he. And he said, I have seen this happen. I have seen the heavens open, and I have seen the Spirit of God as a dove descend from heaven and abide upon him. And therefore I tell you this, that he is the Son of God. And so the Father had to reveal it visibly to John the Baptist. But to us, he reveals it by the Spirit of God in our hearts. And this is what he had done to Simon Peter, and it pleased the Lord Jesus because he knew that there had been a true revelation from the Father concerning himself. That is why I read to you, sad to say, in John chapter 2, that others believed on him, and yet he did not congratulate them. He did not become more intimate with them, but it said, he did not commit himself. He did not entrust himself to them. Why? Because he knew all men, and he knew what was in man. How sad. But even in this faltering, failing Peter, he understood that the utterance, the confession that he gave concerning Christ, it was true, and it came from the Father. That is why Christ is spoken of as knowing all men. He does not need anybody to come and testify about men. Some people have to have it explained to them about men. They are so trusting. They trust men. And all their life savings are taken away. They trust men. And they are lied to and they are deceived. But it says, Jesus knew all men. He did not need that anybody should come and bear witness about man. And for that reason, in the coming day, some are going to say to Christ, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But they're saying, Lord, Lord. But he says, I know that's false. You never knew me. And here is Peter, who says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And he knows you. You who say, Jesus is my Savior. He knows whether it's true or it's false. And he does not need anyone to come and bear witness of you and help him to decide whether you have truly trusted Christ as Savior. He knows all men. And he knows Simon Peter. He knew him the first day he was introduced to him. You'll find in John chapter 1, long before Matthew 16, that the Lord Jesus, when he was introduced to Peter, said, You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, that is Peter. He saw in this fisherman, who himself said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He knew he was a sinful man, but he knew that in the coming day he would be called Cephas. He would be called Peter. And in Matthew 16, that prophecy was fulfilled. He said, You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So the Lord Jesus knew all men, and the Lord Jesus wants all men to know him. Now, the rate of discovery, the time it takes a man to learn who Jesus is brief to a period of years. And some men never learn who Jesus is. I find this, that our Savior had preached to his fellow countrymen again and again. And they came to him and they asked, Who are you? And the Lord Jesus again answered who he was. And then in chapter 10 of John, they say, How long do you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us. And the Lord Jesus said, I told you, and you did not believe me. And so some have been told again and again who he is, and they do not believe the Lord Jesus. He told them that he was the Messiah, and they wanted to pick up stones to stone him. And so some hear him tell them again and again, and it never becomes a part of them because the Father does not reveal it to them. But others, almost immediately, supernaturally, know who he is. When Nathanael is brought to the Lord Jesus, his comments about this one whom he's told about is this. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And they said, You come and see. And when Jesus saw him who had just spoken a derogatory comment about the Savior, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The Lord Jesus looks at Nathanael and says, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael says, Whence knowest thou me? And the Lord Jesus said, Before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael immediately answers, Master, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. How remarkable. He brings him to Jesus. He speaks to Jesus a few words, and immediately he knows who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. Now some, it takes longer. I remember in John chapter 9 that there was this man born blind, and the Lord Jesus told him to go and wash. And he went and washed, and his eyes were open, but he had never seen the Lord Jesus. He had never been told who the Lord Jesus was. And so when he came seeing, all the authorities wanted to know, How did this happen? Who opened your eyes? And he told them, as best he was able, about Jesus, But that wasn't enough. And finally, when he kept insisting that this stranger was a good man, and he insisted because he said, why, if this man were not from heaven, he could not open my eyes. And they said, you were altogether born in sins, and would you teach us? And they excommunicated him, cast him out of the synagogue. And when that happened, it says, Jesus found him and asked him this question, do you believe on the Son of God? And the man said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee. And the man said, I believe, Lord. And he worshipped him. Do you see how quickly some are able to tell Jesus who he is? Now, some, the Lord Jesus does not ask that question for months. In Matthew 16, our Savior had not asked that question of his disciples in this bold way that he did in Matthew 16. But finally, when the proper time comes, and Luke tells us that the Lord Jesus had been praying to discover when the time was that he should ask them, and praying also that the Father would reveal to them who he was. And the Father said, now is the time. He opened our Savior's ear morning by morning. Now is the time to ask them. And he asked, and he discovered also that his prayer to be revealed to them had been answered. And when he said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the time that the disciples should be asked. And the Lord Jesus said, you have had this revealed to you from heaven. Now, others, sad to say, it takes years to be fully convinced as to who he was, his mission on earth, whether it was true, whether it was successfully completed. For this reason, when the Lord Jesus had died on the cross and risen again, he appeared to the disciples other than Thomas and showed them his hands and his feet. And he said, it is I. Come and examine me and see. But Thomas was not with them. And Thomas, when he was told that Jesus was risen from the dead, said, I will not believe unless I feel, unless I see. And then, about a week later, the Lord Jesus again appeared to them, and he challenged him, and he said, now, Thomas, look at me, feel me, see who I am. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And so, in the case of Thomas, even though superficially he had believed, he did not believe to such a degree that the one whom he confessed to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, could die and rise from the dead. Yes, I believe in you, but I cannot believe that you are going to die and rise again. But when the Lord Jesus presented himself to him as the living one, then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And so the Lord has come to men, and some he's spoken to one time, like Nathanael, and Nathanael confesses who Jesus is. And others he comes to for years and tells them who he is. But finally, thank God, all true followers of Christ arrive at this conclusion as to who Jesus is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that you are descended from David, but at the same time, we know that you are the Son of the living God. And that's what he wants all of us to know. And if we know him, then we have eternal life. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Know who Jesus is, and you have eternal life. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that you have sent your Son from heaven in such a way that in his simplicity we would think that he's only a man. But at the same time, when we would see thy Spirit working in him and through him, we would confess that he's the Son of God. And we are thankful to us who are here, we who have humbled ourselves, we who have taken the place of babes, have had it revealed unto us. I thank thee, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent, and did reveal it unto babes. And that is what we are, Father. And you have revealed to us who Jesus is. And it's not fully manifested, and we do not even understand fully to our finite capacity. But our Father, we know whom we believe, and we are persuaded. We thank you for this. So let our knowledge and understanding of him grow, until we may not be called only children and young men, but we may be called fathers who know him who is from the beginning. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.